without attacking their character or their motivations. And I don't think this political vitriol and hatred is a distinctly American trait, and I also don't think it's a recent phenomenon. If you've read history at all, John Adams and the rest of them, they could get pretty bawdy with their language. But I do think this is a pattern which believers must not follow. It is not helpful to demonize our opponents, even political opponents. And let me give you a rule of thumb. If I cannot articulate my differences, if I can't articulate my viewpoint or my differences with you apart from personally attacking you or mischaracterizing you or tearing you down, then I need to keep my mouth shut and let somebody else speak. And that means that maybe all I get to do at the rally is hold a sign. Because anything other than that is tripping off into behavior that is un-Christian. And if that's fine, know yourself and do that. But still work on being able to articulate. And this is something without being hateful. This is something I'm constantly wanting to check myself against. And beloved, as I pray for my nation and as I pray for my nation's leaders, whether I elected them or not, whether I agree with them or not, even if I elected them, when I pray for my nation and my leaders, and remember, praying for the nation isn't just praying for Old Glory. This church is not the articles of faith, the statement of faith in our constitution. This church is not just this property at 100 Higher Ground Lane. We, the members of this church, are Bible Baptist Church. We should understand that, right? And the United States of America is not just an idea. It's not just a history. It is the people who were the citizens of that nation. And we don't have to agree with everybody. But we do have to be... Well, since I'm preaching at a church, we do have to be Christian. And as I pray for my nation and my leaders, praying that I will be able to be involved and engaged, and we should be both on some levels, involved and engaged in a manner that honors and glorifies Christ. Beloved, you may not like the politics, the personality, or the antics of the president. And that could be said about this one really easily, and it could be said about every president we've had before this one, and it could be said about every president we're going to have. You may not like his personality, you may not like his politics, and you may not like his antics. And down the road, we could be saying her personality or politics or antics. But none of us are excused from praying for him and for all our leaders. Did you read that with me in 1 Timothy chapter 2? I would that, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. And then he drills down and gets more specific, for kings, or in our context, for presidents, for governors. For governors who mess with a budget that you don't like. Right? Yeah, that too. Well, I say we should fund education and not defund it. Well, say it, and say it well, and continue to pray for your governor and your elected leaders and whatever else. And say it like Christians. And pray about it like Christians. Because we're never going to like everything about anybody who's in leadership, including the person who stands up here. But we need to understand that we are to pray for our leaders. And we need to understand that Paul does not distinguish between just and unjust rulers. There is not a caveat in here that says pray for good kings Right? Did anybody read that? We're really quiet tonight. You sometimes you can call back to me. Does it say just pray for the good kings? Or let me talk like an American. Does it say just pray for the good presidents? The presidents who have tact and who don't tweet? Does it say just pray for them? No. Does it say just pray for the presidents who uphold your biblical values? No. It says pray for all presidents to us. He simply calls us to publicly pray and to publicly pray positively for our leaders. And this is not a suggestion. This is a command. He's not just throwing this out there. Yeah, think about it. If you can find it in your heart, would you pray for your leaders? He says, pray for them. And beloved, as evil and as pagan as the Roman Empire was during Christ's ministry and then into the expansion of the churches throughout the empire, as pagan and as evil as the Roman Empire was, it was still better than anarchy. And almost any government is. Because the Pax Romana, which is Latin for the Roman peace, was, while it was not equally enjoyed by every person under Roman rule, it was a long period of stability and peace, a time that coincided with the Roman world and beyond being turned upside down by the gospel of Jesus Christ, is what Acts 17:6 says. And that gets us to our final point, and with this we land the plane. Prayer acknowledges our weakness in God's strength. Prayer disables hatred and enables love if we're praying honestly, and prayer gets results. Prayer gets results, and the results, here's the results that we should desire. It's not just that this person win or that this person lose or that this agenda gets advanced. Of course we're praying for things like that, and we should. But the results that prayer gets us ultimately is the opportunity. This is what we're going after, the opportunity to proclaim the gospel and see souls saved, and the opportunity to live peaceful, quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. That's what we read there in verse 2. Even under non-Christian leaders, so that the gospel of Jesus Christ and the knowledge of the truth can be advanced. This is powerful truth, beloved. Let me read it again. Pray, pray, giving thanks, and making intercessions for kings, for all that are in authority. And here's why: that we may lead quiet, peaceable lives in all godliness and honesty. Now, I believe Tertullian, centuries ago, this man from the church in Carthage in North Africa in the early centuries following Christ's crucifixion and resurrection, he said that the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. And I think that's absolutely true. Amen. But I also know what the Apostle Paul said, and I hold what the Apostle Paul said in higher regard than what Tertullian said. And the Apostle Paul said, pray for even wicked kings like Nero, who would take Christians and wrap them in flammable material and burn them from the lampposts in Rome to light the city streets. Pray for them so that we may lead quiet and peaceable lives in all honesty and godliness. Because God would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And when we are leading quiet and peaceable lives, that doesn't mean that we are like little mice in a corner, but it means that that governments are maintaining peace and stability. It allows us to share the gospel in ways that you can't when there is not that peace and stability. And we should pray for this. And we should take advantage of this opportunity, especially as believers in this nation, to publish and proclaim the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, the only mediator between God and men, who ransomed himself on the cross for the sins of mankind according to the eternal timetable of God's redemptive plan. And beloved, there's a ditch on either side of nearly every road. And in this land of the free and home of the brave, we must guard ourselves against, and here's the big threat that we face, we must guard ourselves against wasting our peaceful, quiet lives in ungodly actions and temporal pursuits. We need to be reminded that our freedoms, especially our religious freedom, and the religious freedom that we enjoy as Americans, I believe needs to be guarded, and we need to be thankful for it, and we need to do all that we can legally and biblically to promote it and to perpetuate it, but not just so that we could say, yes, we're the land that actually has religious freedom, the only nation that ever has, and we're so proud of that, but we should take advantage of the religious freedom that we have to spread the gospel here and around the world. That's the advantage that we have. I mean, the Pax Romana allowed those early churches to turn the world upside down with the gospel message because it provided stability and peace, even though the government was officially, it was the official government policy to persecute Christians. We have the American peace that this world enjoys by the blood of our patriots. And the religious freedom that was written into our founding documents. And we need to make sure that our top priority as Christians is not just that we pound our chest and pat our backs and say, isn't this so nice what we have, but that we use what we have for the glory of Christ and the furtherance of the gospel. That's our ultimate goal, because God would have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Because there's one God and there's one mediator between God and us, and that is Jesus Christ, who gave himself as a ransom for all according to God's redemptive timetable. Beloved, we have been blessed. We have been blessed with this awesome opportunity, but it's also an awesome responsibility. And I think sometimes as Americans, and I may be just speaking for myself, and maybe I am, but if I am, then learn from my own life. Sometimes we're more proud of the religious freedom than the freedom to spread the gospel. So how do you know if that's the case? Well, do you ever live it and speak it? That's how you know if it's the case. Beloved, let's not fritter away our peaceful lives by being consumed with the agendas and the things of this world. I talked about the lunatic fringes on either side, and it's hard. I mess around on Twitter. I kind of get my news that way. Yeah, I read the Wall Street Journal. I read the Signal, and to get national news, because I don't have cable. And I don't want to watch cable news. For my own sanctification, I do not want to watch cable news. I don't care what the letters are. If the letters are CNN or the letters are FOX, I don't want to watch any of them. Because one side is reporting stuff that I think is just utterly false and banal, and it just makes me so aggravated. I'll tell a story that might make Diana mad, but I'll deal with that later. But When my mother-in-law was staying with me, my mother-in-law loves to watch the news. And I said, Mom, we don't have cable. We cut the cord a long time ago. I said, but we have this thing called Sling, and I've got the sports package that lets me watch the Texas A&M games. But guess what? It does have, CNN is on there if you want to watch that. And she did. And I had to leave the room on a regular basis. And it was leading up to the Kavanaugh hearings, and just on and on and on, especially one night this Cuomo fellow was on there, and it was driving me And I said, Mom, why are you listening to this? And she said, well, a plane may go down, and how would I know? if some big news item happened, how would I not know? How would I know? I wouldn't know. I said, well, you got me there. So, I mess around on Twitter or whatever to get some news from around. And there's just, even people that I follow, sometimes I've got to unfollow them and get away from that because of the way they present the argument. And I've messed around with this, telling you this, beloved. I don't care what end of the eye of the spectrum you're on, but if you listen to voices that are high on rhetoric and low on content, if you listen to voices that just parrot and play to base emotions, and that's a lot of our talk show guys, not all of them, but a lot of them. If you wake up, and if you travel around during the day, and if you go to bed with those voices ringing in your ears, you're going to have a hard time responding like a Christian. You just will. You just will. Because it's rah, 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 all the time. And we have to be very careful, especially in today where it is so polarizing. And we need to pray. We need to pray because it acknowledges our weakness in God's strength, because it disables hatred and enables love, and because when we work, but when we pray, God works. And beloved, I think you figured this out about me in about 16 months or however long it is I've been here. But I hold passionately to what I believe, whether it's scriptural or whatever. But we have got to regulate and moderate our passion according to the Bible. And that will help us keep the main thing the plain thing, and the plain thing the main thing. And it will help us value clarity over agreement. And it will help us to be, to couple charity with clarity. And it will enable us to understand that even if somebody's in my face calling me names and calling me what I'm not, because I believe what Scripture says about gender and about this and about that and about whatever else, that while it may hurt me and while it may wound me, I can trust my God because He is the righteous judge of all the earth. I can't do judgment. I got to be as just as possible, but I can't do it in the end. And neither can you, by the way. But God can, God will, and we have to trust Him for it. Father in heaven, I thank You for the attentiveness of this congregation. I thank You, Father, for their patience with me as I've decided to take, I think, at the prompting of Your Spirit, to take about 5 opportunities to preach. And this has concluded the 3rd one. Father, we're over the hump to talk about how we, not just as believers, but as the Bible Baptist Church, must relate to this politically charged world in which we live with the truth of Scriptures. Father, You have not left us alone in this regard. You have not left us in the dark to grope around searching for our own answers. We don't have to look to other areas to figure out what we ought to do. We just need to have an open mind, an open Bible, and a willing heart. And as we were reminded of, because really, Father, all that I do is remind people of what they've already been taught, what they already know. I know in some cases this is new for people, but for most, I'm playing the role of refresher, and I want to be refreshing. But to remind us to pray, Your will to be done, and for us to joyfully and faithfully follow after your will in all things. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. You are dismissed.